Would you turn, please, to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Indeed, it is of the great love of God that we have redemption, that we have salvation. We've been studying in our study of 1 Peter, the topic of standing firm. And as we have been moving through the passage, we're coming back to it after a week or two off. We come back and we remember that God is doing a great work here through Peter by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's writing to a people scattered across a certain area of Asia Minor, what we think of as modern Turkey, to people who are experiencing and will experience in a greater manner persecution and suffering because of Christ, because of being witnesses and believers in Christ. As he has done so, he has laid forth for us the theology in the first chapter, the great work of God in salvation for us and how he provided, God did. He provided salvation for us through Christ, the shed blood of Christ, and how we have a home in heaven which to look forward to. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit now abiding in us. And upon this basis, the basis of God's work in our heart and His salvation and His continuing abiding presence, we have now the power to walk and to live regardless of what is going on around us, regardless of what is coming to us and what we are having to face. And so he is moving through a passage here that he's talked about putting aside malice, deceit, long for the milk of God's Word. We've come to Christ as the living stones, and now we are, he uses this metaphor of living stones here, the metaphor of a building being joined together. He's called us a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God's own possession. And that should thrill our hearts if we're believers that God owns us. He cherishes us as His own dear possession. And so now, as he moves through, Peter comes to the point of how we live in and around people. Some have called it the household codes. Let's read together in verse 18 as we begin. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. Standing firm in submission. Let's bow in prayer and ask for God's help to understand His Word. Gracious God, we look to You this morning as the only author of perfection, as the only one who is true and just and right. And we thank You for the Word that You have given to us in the Holy Scriptures. Father, for the care You took in providing this for us. And as we come together in the quietness of this hour, may we put aside those things that would distract us. And I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, our hearts would be open to the Word. Would You shine Your light upon the Word that we might understand? Would You unfold it, unpack it for us that we might see Your purposes? And Father, may we be changed because we have seen Your Word, we have seen You. May we be more like Christ. Father, may Your Word burrow down our hearts and remain with us. May it constantly bubble up within us. Lord, my words are of no importance. May they fall away if they are not Your words, but Your Word, I pray, O God, would remain eternal in our hearts. You alone are worthy of our praise and our glory. For it's in Christ and we pray. Amen. The times in which Peter wrote were such that there were not many free. It was said that well over half of the population lived in some sort of slavery. slavery was not a matter of race. Don't place it in the context of our own country's history. It was not a matter of race. It was a matter of conqueror. It was a matter of economic status. And so if you were a conquered nation, you were assimilated into a culture. And so you were a slave, a servant, varying ranks, varying, as you might think, varying levels of this, but you were owned by someone. The conditions varied greatly. Some slaves had slaves that reported to them. Some slaves were more educated than their masters. Often a very educated slave, a very wise individual, will be given the responsibility to train the children of the master, or to take care of the home, the business, to run those things while the master lived his life, enjoying the fruit of the labor. Slavery was an interesting thing. It was real life for those. And Peter does not come out in a full-front assault against slavery. It was what was at the time. It was real life. Many to which he is speaking via the letter here were slaves in some sort of fashion or another. So Peter is dealing with the realities of what is. Of course, his heart goes out to those who are in slavery. So he writes to admonish them, to teach them, but also to encourage them in their Christian life as they live in this world. Obviously, from Scripture and from our standpoint, slavery is to be condemned. There is no justification. Just because Peter is not having a strong word against it does not mean that he's condoning it. But Peter is merely dealing with what is going on in this time. And so it's easy to disregard, possibly in our 21st century mentality, what Peter is saying, because we are not, in the classic sense, slaves, but servants to a master. And so he says, well, this is for that time. But we know that God's Word is eternal, is above culture, its principles carries past any certain generation or time. So God has something for us to hear. It's also important to understand that Peter's concern is not for release for the slaves. Now, that might have been the slaves' primary thought. I would love to be out of this condition. But he's not dealing with that primarily. He's not saying, I want you to be free. He's saying, in your position, I want you to live godly. He's more interested in Christ-likeness than he is in freedom. However, he's been stressing the freedom that they have in Christ. And so you see this juxtaposition of spiritual freedom with physical slavery, physical servanthood. Are those two compatible? How does one live out in the life of the other, the spiritual freedom, the life of physical slavery? Well, Peter's already told us in verse 16, right above our reading there, that act as free men, spiritual freemen, but do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as a bondslave, as the bondslaves of God. So freedom in Christ. Freedom in Christ is an opportunity to be a bondslave to God. So as Peter is writing here, he's writing to believers who many of them servants and slaves, but because they have accepted Christ, are now looked on even as lower class. If that could be possible in our minds to think about that. First they're slaves or servants, and now they're, because they have accepted Christ, they're followers of Christ, now they are even lower class. So what he has to say is very important. How they live is very important, not only for themselves, but the cause of Christ. This morning in our text, Peter has an understanding for us. It's this: since God is pleased when you suffer well, you must submit to authority. And at first this may seem contradictory. I have freedom, so I have to submit. Oh, and by the way, God is pleased because of my position, my servanthood, and in my submission, but I have real spiritual freedom, but I have to place myself under? And Peter is saying, yes. You have spiritual freedom in God, but submit. Let's see how Peter puts this by the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, number one, be respectful in submission. Servants, be submissive. Be respectful and submissive. It says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrow when suffering unjustly. Suffering unjustly. So we're going to look at to see a couple things here. The what of submission, the who of submission. What? So, first of all, as we see this, submission is to place yourself under, to subject oneself to another, to subordinate. The very word means to place under someone. That's the what of it. The who of it is the servants. The servants here, and this word is interesting because it's not the usual word that Paul uses sometimes, doulos, which is a slave, but it's more of a domestic, a household servant. As I mentioned before, there are many different strata, layers in this understanding of a slave or of a servant. So Peter here uses this word of a domestic, someone who's in the household serving the master. Of course, we have obviously submission to God here, but the submission in this context, because they're submitting to God, is to submit to the master, the slave owner. And that word really is the word we might think of as despot, or someone who owns another. And so for us to be submissive as a servant, to place ourselves under a master who owns it. Well, Peter continues. He talks about the how, because in verse 18 it says, with all respect. All, it's intensifying this idea of respect. But respect is the word phobos, or fear, used earlier in the idea of reverence, or of looking to them, fearing in such a way as giving great respect. We are told to regard God in reverence. And this is not to the same degree we regard God in reverence, but the servants are to be respectful to their masters, to regard them in great high regard, and so give them attention and reverence. And to the extent, wow, as he goes through, he says, not only to those who are good and gentle. Because, you know, it's easy to be respectful and honor those, that master who is good, who treats you well. Not only to that person who is very considerate and kind and who gives you, you know, 15-minute breaks every 3 hours, or who takes care of you, who pays you well. Not only to that person, but the person who also is unreasonable. The person who is harsh. The person who is crooked and unscrupulous. Because that's what really that word finds its root. An unscrupulous one, one who is crooked. The extent in which we submit is not only to the good one, but those who are crooked, who are basically thieves, who are trying to cheat you in any way and to cheat others in any way. Now, Peter had said, stop. Okay. Submit to the good ones. We would have been fine with that. Okay? Understand. But those crooked people? No. You're telling me that's not right. That's not fair. That's unjust. And yes, the time in which they live was unjust. The system of slavery was unjust. But Peter says, submit. Submit to the unreasonable ones. The ones who think themselves important. The ones who lord it over. T.S. Eliot said, most of the trouble in this world is caused by people wanting to be important. Whether it be masters or the slaves, we all want to be important, don't we? And so we have conflict in life because our desire to be important. It's a mirror of our life here. Now, you and I don't live in a context of slavery here in the U.S. But we do live in the context of servants, because even the domestics, that word used, could be also a freed man, freed woman in this context, in this time, that was willingly giving themselves to the master to work, to be paid a wage, possibly to provide a house or living arrangements for that. But they worked for the master. And so now we start to see that Peter's not just talking to those back so many centuries ago, a couple thousand years ago, but he's also talking to us by the Holy Spirit when he says, servants, those of us who work for another, be submissive with all respect, not only to the good and the gentle, but to those who are unreasonable, crooked, and scrupulous. That's a very tough thing. Even the word submit is a little hard for us to stomach. After all, we're Americans. All right? We stand for truth, justice, and the American way. We will not be cowed down by any man. We will forge our way to submit. But in the very form of submission, the very act of our Savior submitting Himself to God the Father, but also to the hands of angry men, we find our example to be respectful in submission. Harry Einsides put it this way. He says, the servant is nothing. God is everything. The key to this is seeing ourselves first as God's servants. And we are bondslaves of God. And because we are, we will willingly live out our lives and respect those in power and authority over us. Now, we may be mistreated. There may be a time that comes to America in some future date when we may be persecuted for being a believer, for naming the name of Christ. And at that point in time, then we will have to make the decision, is our following Christ just something that we have done culturally? Yes, I'm a Christian, I grew up in Greenville. Or is it something that is true in our heart, that Christ has done a work? We have His saving grace. We've trusted Him by faith. And there may be a great separation from those who would say to name the name of Christ, but from those who would walk the path of Christ. And that path is submission, serving. God calls us to be respectful to those in authority over us. But Peter continues in this line of thought that we might be patient in submission. This is really, he gives us the for, the reason, and the how of our submission, how we should live in this area, this manner of submission. But first of all, know that we receive God's approval. For this, he says in verse 19, for this finds favor, really God's approval. If for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. Basically saying, it's commendable to God. God sees it and is pleased by it when we, because of conscience sake for God, because we are responsible for God, because we realize that God is with us and watching us, and we have an obligation to Him, that we bear up under persecution and suffering. It is pleasing to God. Bear up is simply to hold up under some weight being placed upon them. You can imagine this time in the great suffering that this people might have endured. Now a servant, now a believer of Christ, the persecution, the weight of responsibility and of slavery upon them to bear up under it. And he says, God sees that and approves, and He has His approval when you bear up under it for His sake. His approval. You know, this is quite different from the culture of this time. Aristotle, in his writings, did not think it was possible that injustice could be done to a slave. Slave was chattel. It was something purchased. respect for human life was near non-existent. You think in our time, it's bad in some areas. Here, human life was not counted much at all. The philosophy, the prevailing philosophy of the age was the slave is nothing. The servant is nothing. You can't do wrong against them. They can't receive injustice for themselves because they're not worth it. You start to see what God is doing in this area and how He's admonishing the people in this time of bearing up under suffering. Peter's, of course, identifies it as something that is unjust. Something that is wrong that's happening to him, but realize the people around them did not see it as wrong. And so Peter says there are two types of suffering that we bear up under. The good and the bad. Verse 20. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? So he said, the credit is good report. So, what good report is that when you sin, you do something wrong. There, sin word is missing the mark. When you do something that is wrong, not necessarily even blatantly, but when you do something wrong, you miss the mark for what the master wants, and you bear up under it. It's your responsibility, but I'm enduring it with patience. Look at me. I've sinned. I've missed what the master has asked for me, but I'm just bearing it up. He says, what credit is there for you when you do it, but you bear patiently? Instead, live in such a way that is holy and righteous, that is obedient, that is submissive, such a way, as he continues into verse 20, but if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. So the contrast is to live a life in submission, to do what is right, to be known as an individual who will perform in such a way that always gives the right to the master. And then when you are persecuted, when you suffer because of that, and you patiently endure it, when you bear up under it, and you keep the smile on your face, and you continue to live godly in the situation, then that is great credit and great report. His emphasis here is suffering with patience. Suffering with patience. As Josh mentioned, sometimes patience is the hardest thing for us to learn. And we all know that we don't want to pray for patience because tribulation works with patience. So you don't ever dare pray for it, right? So you just kind of grin and bear it. No, to patiently suffer. To allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in such a way that you exhibit the Christ-likeness when you are going through rotten stuff is what glorifies God. What meets with His approval and what exhibits Christ's likeness in your life. And notice a change here in 19 to 20. Peter goes from the general to the personal. He says, for this finds favor if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person, a nameless person, bears up under sorrow when suffering unjustly. But what credit is there when you sin? You endure patiently. But when you do what is right and you suffer for it patiently and you patiently endure, this finds favor with God. It's not enough to say, okay, as believers, we're going to do this. It comes down to when the rubber meets the road for you and for me to bear up under what God ever gives us, knowing that He is a good and a gracious God and He knows exactly where we are, whether we're in a position where we're being abused by others because of the cause of Christ, or being plagued upon, to bear it with patience, with goodness, with joy. Now Paul is going to give us the warrant for it, and I decided to split up these sections here from this Sunday to next. The purpose is because Christ has done this already for us. Amen. Peter's going to unpack this of how he lived, very akin to what Paul said in Philippians 2 of how God came, Christ came as a servant and bared the sin of all of us. And you think of that was injustice. Perfect God bearing for us our sin. He says, because of that, you can bear up patiently because of the example of Christ and what He has done for you. So it is only right and just and good. Submission. Enduring hardness, harshness. Peter calls for us to be careful in our conduct. To be careful in how we live. Suffering well. Pleasing God. Patient endurance. It was said at the Nicene Council, which was an important church meeting in the 4th century, that of the 318 delegates that attended, fewer than 12 were there without the loss of a limb, a finger, some kind of physical deformity because of the cause of Christ. As Peter's writing in around mid-60 A.D., well before this council, Peter, by God's power, was understanding what would face believers, how they should bear up under suffering. You think of the loss of life and the loss of limb for those who suffered for the cause of Christ. And we think in our time, that's for some other group. But boy, when my boss gives me down the road for something, and I didn't do it, boy, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. See, it's not that much different, except that we probably live a much easier life than any of us could ever dream. But God calls us to, in our time, have relationships with employers, have relationships with those in authority over us. Some of you, it may be school. Some of you, parents. Some of you, the employer, relationship within a partner of a business, those things in which we place ourselves under. And boy, we just can't take it when we are treated wrong. That's not fair. To which, of course, our parents always remind us life isn't fair. You know what I mean? Anybody have that? Raise a hand. But we are indignant when how dare they do something to us? And how dare they? Well, I'm being persecuted. Sometimes it's because of what we did, which was wrong. Peter's saying across the centuries by the power of the Holy Spirit, be submissive. Let others see the Christ-likeness, that Christ is in your heart, that Christ lives and abides. You have the joy of the Lord in you by how you respond to those who abuse you. Now, in our time, we have the ability that if it comes to a certain point, we can walk down the street and get another job. Praise God. Because they could not walk down the street at this time and get another job. They were owned by the master. And so, with that mindset of ours, we think, oh, well, we just go on to the next place. We'll just do the next thing. We'll just find somebody else that will treat us nice. Instead of realizing the opportunity God gives us is to live in such a way that He is glorified. You and I may be called to minister to a people in our workplace in areas that are not too nice, with people who are not too nice. And that may be putting it mildly. We're called to show Christ-likeness. If God wills and moves us on, we go to another place and we show Christ-likeness. But where we are, where God has planted us, we should be His testimony. We should take upon us the great grace of Christ in which He suffered for us. We should suffer for Him. We should endure in such a way that calls glory to God. When people remark, wow, you are really patient and kind, when that person chewed you out and cussed you up one side and down the other, we don't take it and say, oh, yes, I am such a wonderful person. You say, well, I owe a lot to Christ. He bore so much for me, I can surely put up with something else. We direct that to Christ. We direct it to Him. We use Him as our motivation to submit, to serve. The question of authority in our lives is one we struggle with often. We want to be the captains of our own fate. We want to chart our own course. We want to work the plan. Come out on top, retire at 45. Oops, I missed it. Whatever it is. When God says, I have you where I want you. I'll move you when I want you to move. Bear patiently. I wonder what it would be if we together as believers lived in such a way that even when enduring what we might consider small suffering, small hardships in our workplace, in our lives, how would it be if we lived in such a way that God was glorified? That people saw us and saw the work of God so much in our hearts that they know something is different. They know that we're receiving the power of patience from someone other than ourselves, from God Himself. What doors would be open to us for witness in a lost and dying world when we submit patiently? As we have noted before in this passage, people are watching. People are viewing us. How will we live? For you and for me, make it our priority. We must make it our priority to live in such a way that God is glorified. To serve God by serving others. To submit humbly, patiently. Because we know that God is well pleased. May we stand firm. May we please God in the manner in which we submit to authority. By His grace and by His help. Let's bow for prayer. Dear God, we thank You for Your love. For Your great mercy to us. We stand in awe of You and we see a passage that does not immediately feel so great to us. Because sometimes we do endure injustice and we endure things that are not right. And we long for justice, for fair treatment. Understandably, we are pained. But God, help us to see a bigger picture, Your picture for our lives. Help us to understand that how we live is a direct reflection on who You are. How we live can point the lost and dying to You. Father, we need Your grace. We need the strength. Help us to, by the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, to live in such a way that You are glorified, that we patiently endure. May we do this by Your strength and by Your grace. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.